All right, it's time for a Catholic hack riddle. What does Dr. Scott Hahn, Lent, and sexual integrity all have in common? Give up? Well, stick around. Let's talk about it.
Houston, we have a problem.
Habemus Papam.
Podcasting from a parking lot in the Woodlands, Texas, it's the Catholic Hack with Joe McClain.
Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which will be given up for you.
1 Peter 3:15. Always be ready to give an explanation to anyone who asks you for a reason for your hope.
Take this, all of you, and drink from it. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all, so that sins may be forgiven.
The Church of the Living God, the pillar and foundation of truth. 1 Timothy 3:15.
Do this in memory of me.
Welcome back to the Catholic Hack. I'm Joe McClain. This is episode number 40. And did you get the answer to the Catholic hack riddle? What does Lent, Dr. Scott Hahn, and sexual integrity all have in common? Well, the answer is simple. It's all right here on the Catholic Hack podcast. It's been an amazing week. It's been a very busy week, a very challenging week, and a bit of a hard week for me, transitioning to a new job. And I appreciate all the prayers that you have given me, and the support that I've seen from you has been wonderful. So thank you very much for that. I hope that you're gearing up for Lent. This is going to be a great Lent. I have a great feeling. Last year, it was a very spiritual Lent for me. I offered up some sacrifices, and I encountered some spiritual battles that I wasn't prepared for or didn't expect. And so I'm sort of trying to gear myself up for that once again. I have a special treat for you, in store for you. I have been given permission by the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology to play for you on this podcast the Breaking the Bread segment by Dr. Scott Hahn. And I got to tell you, I am just floored that they've given me the permission to play this for you. This is a fantastic segment that he produces for a play on Catholic radio stations, and he's allowing it for your benefit right here on the Catholic Hack. Up today in today's interview is Christopher West, who is an excellent theology of the body instructor and author, and I hope you'll enjoy that interview as much as I did. But before we get into that, I want to play for you the very first Breaking the Bread segment. So let's break the bread and kick off Lent.
The fall of Adam was a catastrophe for all of us. But Jesus came as a new Adam to set matters right once again. Yet so often, we find ourselves sinning like the old Adam. The season of Lent should be our time to take off the old and put on the new. Find out more next on Breaking the Bread. In this week's readings, the destiny of the human race is told as the tale of two types of men, the first man Adam and the new Adam Jesus. Paul's argument in the epistle is built on a series of contrasts between one or one person and the many or all. By one person's disobedience, sin and condemnation entered the world, and death came to reign over all. But by the obedience of another one, Jesus, grace abounded and all were justified. And life has come to reign for all. This is the drama that unfolds in the first reading and the gospel. Formed from the clay of the ground and filled with the breath of God's own spirit, Adam was a son of God. Created in his image and likeness, crowned with glory, he was given dominion over the world as well as the protection of his angels. He was made to worship God, to live not by bread alone, but in obedience to every word that comes from the mouth of his Father. Adam, however, put the Lord, his God, to the test. He gave in to the serpent's temptation, trying to seize for himself all that God had already promised him. But Jesus, in his hour of temptation, prevailed precisely where Adam failed, and he drove the devil away. Yet you and I still sin after the pattern of Adam's transgression. Like Adam, we let sin in the door when we entertain doubts about God's promises, when we forget to call on him in the hour of temptation. But the grace won for us by Christ's obedience means that sin is no longer our master. As we begin our yearly season of repentance this Lent, we can be confident in His compassion that He will create in us a new heart. What we proclaim in our responsorial psalm will be true in our lives. We can sing joyfully of our salvation renewed in His presence. This is Scott Hahn for Breaking the Bread.
Breaking the Bread is a production of the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology. If you'd like to receive written copies of Dr. Hahn's reflections on the Sunday Mass readings, you can contact us by email at staff@salvationhistory.com or call us at 740-264-9535. That's 740-264-9535.
The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, says, "When you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites. They neglect their appearance, so that they may appear to others to be fasting. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you may not appear to be fasting, except to your Father who is hidden. And your Father who sees what is hidden will repay you." That comes from the Gospel, which will be proclaimed in the Mass this Sunday at Ash Wednesday. And I encourage you to please go to Ash Wednesday Mass and receive your ashes, for that prepares you and starts you on the Lenten journey, where we are cleansing ourselves, we are purifying ourselves spiritually, preparing ourselves for that Easter celebration. We are going through the Passion. We are going to Calvary so that ultimately we can go to the empty tomb and where we can see our Lord risen again, coming forth from that tomb, alive, and proclaiming the good news to us. So prepare yourself by starting and going to Ash Wednesday. I hope that you're gearing up for your Lent, and I encourage you to stay tuned here on the Catholic Hack during your Lenten journey as we go through the Sunday readings here with Dr. Scott Hahn. What a gift to share that Breaking the Bread with you from the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology. That's the same place. It's www.salvationhistory.com, and that's the same place we're going to kick off our Salvation History Bible study. We're going to do that right here in the Catholic Hack. So do me a favor, stop by that website, www.salvationhistory.com, and sign up for the course material. We're going to start with the first course, and we're going to work our way through all of that material, and we're going to get that started here during Lent on the Catholic Hack. Let the St. Paul Center know that you heard of them through the Catholic Hack. I would really, really appreciate that. Thank them for letting me play the Breaking the Bread segment. Well, today, folks, we have Christopher West lined up to speak with you. He's a fantastic professor of theology of the body. He's also written books on the subject, and he personally had an impact on my life when I heard of him for the first time in a talk that he gave called Marriage and the Eucharist, which is given away for absolutely free at www.catholicity.com. Don't worry, I'll post a link on the blog that you can get to that. But I'm also offering his books for sale on the Catholic Hack bookstore, which you can get to at www.catholiccompany.com/Catholic Hack. And if you go by the bookstore today, you're going to see not only some many fantastic Catholic resource material like Dr. Scott Hahn's books, but also Christopher West's books too on theology of the body. He has done a wonderful job to explain this beautiful teaching of sexuality as seen and as spoken from the eyes and the mouth of our beloved former Pope John Paul II. It had a tremendous impact on my life. We need to encourage men to remain sexually pure so that they too aren't going to suffer from these sorts of damaging and long-lasting effects. They have no idea what it is they're doing to themselves. And Christopher West has done a wonderful job of explaining this beautiful teaching. What does our sexuality really mean? How can we understand it? How should we understand it? Why is, you know, sex outside of marriage bad? Why is sex between a man and a woman in a marital covenant only permissible? Why? Well, these are great questions to ask, and I encourage you to dive deep and study your faith. And I think if you get a hold of this talk, Marriage and the Eucharist, as well as some of the books by Christopher West, I think you'll agree with me that they are eye-opening, that they are life-changing, and I believe you'll feel the same way I do at the end of it. Well, Lent is shaping up to be very event-filled here on the Catholic Hack Podcast. We still have Jim Burnham and Jeff Cavins and Greg and Jennifer Willits and so much more to share with you, especially the series on the Rosary and the Scripture Study Series from SalvationHistory.com. All of that is heading your way. So please, stick around the Catholic Hack Podcast and look for what's to come your way and share this podcast with your friends and family. Well, until then, we've got to get into this interview with Christopher West. We've got to roll up our sleeves, and we've got to dive deep and get into the truth about pure sexuality and sexual integrity.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
This school, when I sit, even just a little bit, I get hit with the power that made the veil in the temple split. When I submit, fall on the floor and adore. Can't get enough, got to come back for some more.
Hey, we've got a problem here.
Sinner, every human hypocrite can benefit in the school. Repent and commit.
Roger that.
As the incense rises up in adoration of the throne, something happens to my wounded heart from all the love revealed and shown. Bright light, Shekinah comes to my aid to persist. To change and sustain the way I think it exists. To feel the bliss because my name is in the book of life's list. That's what happens when you sit in the school of the Eucharist.
Mr. Emmett, take her down. Make your depth 150 feet, 10 degree down bubble.
150 feet, 10 degree down bubble. Aye, sir.
Dive.
Welcome back to the Catholic Hack. I'm Joe McLean, and today we're speaking with a very special guest, Christopher West. Christopher is widely recognized around the globe as a leading commentator for his work promoting an integral biblical vision of human life, love, and sexuality. He serves as a research fellow and faculty member of Theology of the Body Institute near Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. He has also lectured on a number of other prestigious faculties, offering graduate and undergraduate courses at St. John Vianney Seminary in Denver, the John Paul II Institute in Melbourne, Australia, and the Institute for Priestly Formation at Creighton University in Omaha. In addition, Christopher is a best-selling author of 4 books and one of the most sought-after speakers in the church today, having delivered over 1,000 public lectures on 4 continents, in 10 countries, and in nearly 200 American cities. His popular column, Body Language, is syndicated to diocesan newspapers around the country. Christopher and his wife, Wendy, live with their 4 children near Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Christopher, welcome to the podcast.
So glad to be with you.
Thank you for taking your time out of your busy schedule. I really appreciate that. I just have to spend just 1 minute to tell you how much of an integral part of my own conversion that you have served. When I was converting to the Catholic faith in my heart of hearts, I had suffered through 20 years of sexual addiction, pornography, and license, etc. And growing up in a Protestant background, I never could understand why, you know, I always heard you can't have sex outside of marriage, etc., but I never understood why until one day someone gave me a copy of a lecture called Marriage and the Eucharist by Christopher West, and it really changed my life forever. And since then, my wife and I have made it a part of our ministry to give that talk out to many, many people. We were giving lectures to a pre-Cana conference 3 times a year up in Laconia, New Hampshire, and we gave every single one of those couples that talk. And every single person who's ever listened to that has always said the same things. Wow, why have I never heard that before? So, I mean, even this...
You know, I said the same thing when I discovered John Paul II's Theology of the Body. I went to Catholic schools my whole life, and I had never heard it before.
Right.
There is a tragic void of knowledge about what our church really teaches and believes. And for lack of knowledge of the banquet, we go out there feeding ourselves from the dumpster. My life isn't unlike yours. I got swept away by all the lies of our culture as well.
Wow.
And it wasn't until I discovered this glorious banquet from John Paul II that I knew I had learned the truth that would set me free.
It's absolutely amazing. Now, you've written a book right now that's called The Love That Satisfies. Can we talk about that book? Tell me what inspired you, what this book is all about.
Sure. The Love That Satisfies is my most recent book. It came out from Ascension Press just a couple months ago. And it is a reflection on Pope Benedict's encyclical, God is Love. When I got my hands on that encyclical a couple years ago, when it first came out, I realized that Pope Benedict had given us the crown jewel of everything John Paul II gave us in the theology of the body. The first half of Benedict's letter is a reflection on the relationship between eros and agape. Now, those are Greek words. We might say in English, eros we would translate as erotic love or the love between man and woman, and agape we would say divine love or sacrificial love, the love of self-giving. And what Benedict is helping us to see, just as John Paul II did, is that eros is meant to express agape. Sexual love is meant to express divine love. This is the love that really satisfies. The problem in our world is not that we are lacking sex. We've got sex everywhere. It's on TV, it's on the internet, it's in our movies, magazines, newspapers, everywhere, billboards. The problem is we're lacking love. The sex that's being promoted has been disconnected from authentic love. We have disconnected eros from agape. And Benedict helps us to relink the two, just as John Paul II did. And my book, The Love That Satisfies, is a guided meditation on about 63 key quotes from Benedict's encyclical, drawing on the wisdom of John Paul II and unpacking it all and helping people discover the love that really satisfies.
Wow. This material, although it's very, very deep material, I participate in a program called That Man Is You, and we spent the whole first semester of this program talking about theology of the body, and it was very difficult material to get through. But in my mind, it really comes alive. It really helps to, when you put the energy into trying to understand these things, it really does pop out, and you recognize how true this material is. For me, it was, understanding that in the act of our sexual act, we get to participate in the inner life of God himself.
It is utterly astounding that we are created male and female and called to become one flesh. Why? To be enabled to participate in the very life and love of God. This is what St. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5. He says the one flesh union is a great mystery that is a foreshadowing or an image, or other translations say a great sacrament of Christ and the church. The very purpose of our humanity as male and female, the very purpose of that intimate embrace is to give us a little window, a little glimmer into the inner life and love and power of God. This is absolutely astounding. From beginning to end, the Bible tells us a story about marriage. In the beginning, we're created male and female, and we're called to become one flesh. Throughout the Old Testament, the prophets speak of God's love for his people as the love of a husband for his wife. In the New Testament, the love of the eternal bridegroom is literally embodied when the Word is made flesh. And then at the end of the Bible, the book of Revelation describes heaven as an eternal marriage, the marriage of Christ and the church. When we look at these two bookends, the first bookend of the Bible is the marriage of Adam and Eve. The final bookend of the Bible is the marriage of Christ and the church. We realize the key for interpreting everything between. God wants to marry us. He wants to be one with us. He wants to unite with us. He wants to fill our humanity. Or, just go with the analogy, he wants to impregnate our humanity with divine life. That's why the church is called the bride of Christ. And this eternal marital plan is chiseled right in our bodies. This is what sexual love is meant to express. Eros, as Benedict says, is meant to express agape.
Can you talk a little bit more about the differences between love and lust, and how the biblical story, you know, shows us how it brings in this lust and that separates us from the eros, from the agape. Can you explain that a little more?
Sure, sure. Using a biblical image, I like to say that lust is sexual desire that has run out of wine. What do I mean there? Well, we got to go back to the beginning. Before sin entered the world, the first man and woman were both naked without shame. And nakedness without shame indicates that the sentiment of their sexual desire was nothing but to love in the image of God. See, wine in the Bible is a biblical image of divine love. It's a biblical image of agape. So in the beginning, because they were filled with God's wine, or we could even say they were inebriated on God's wine, in the beginning, Eros expressed agape. Well, what happened with the original sin? They cast God's love from their hearts. In other words, they ran out of wine. And that's when lust appears. Lust is a tragic reduction, a tragic emptying out of God's original plan for sexual love. Eros is meant to express agape, but when you cut Eros off from agape, you have lust. Lust is now a self-seeking desire at the expense of the other person. It uses the other rather than donates oneself to the other. But here's the good news of the gospel. Christ came into the world to restore creation to the purity of its origins. Where did he perform his first miracle, and what was it?
His first miracle is a wedding feast at Cana, and it was turning the water into wine.
Wedding feast at Cana. And he restored the wine in super abundance.
Right.
This is good news. Because if we drink deeply from this new wine, we will find ourselves again empowered to love in the image of God. If we drink deeply from this new wine, Eros is again infused with agape. This is the goal of the Christian life, is to be intoxicated, inebriated on God's love. I mean, what did they accuse the apostles of on Pentecost Day? You guys are drunk. That's right.
That's
drunk
right.
on God's love.
Wow.
That's what we're called to.
So now it's easy for me to sort of dive into this material coming from a perspective, I'm a married man. But what about the men and women called to celibacy? How can they come to understand this teaching?
This is so important. You know, the theology of the body is often cast as an extended teaching on married love. And it is that. It gives us beautiful insight into the marriage vocation. However, it's so important to recognize that the theology of the body is for everybody. No matter what state or stage in life, this is a reflection on what it means to be human. We are all called to love in the image of God according to our state in life. And every single one of us, for every single one of us, that call to love is inscribed right in our bodies. Think about it for a minute. A man's body does not make sense by itself. And a woman's body does not make sense by itself. Seen in light of each other, we discover what the Pope calls, this is John Paul II now, the spousal meaning of the body. Stamped right in our bodies is the call to self-donating, self-giving love. And this is not only for married people. The person who is celibate for the kingdom is also called to live the spousal meaning of the body. The person who is celibate for the kingdom, in fact, is an image here on earth of the ultimate marriage, the marriage of Christ and the church. The celibate man marries the church, and he gives up his body for the church, and through that gift he bears numerous spiritual children. You know, we call a priest father for a reason, precisely because he's married the church and he has numerous spiritual children. We call Mother Teresa, God rest her soul, Mother Teresa, because the celibate woman marries Christ. And in marrying Christ, she bears numerous spiritual children. So this, what you might call the spousal mark of love, or the spousal dimension of love, is present in all genuine forms of human love. This is not only for married people. We are all called to love as Christ loves, and Christ loves in a spousal way.
Now, me personally, like I said before, I spent 20 years of my life really saturated in pornography and sexual license. And as a result of that, even though now I'm finding so much grace in theology of the body, it's still a very difficult challenge for me to overcome the psychological damage to not see women as a commodity, to see them as a human being. Can you just talk about that and maybe, because there, I can't tell you how many men I've in this ministry, this podcast. Just this morning, a gentleman from Germany emailed me. He says he could relate to my experience and he wanted some advice. And I thought it would be a fantastic thing to ask you about what your opinion is and some advice towards men, especially overcoming this psychological damage, this disordered love, this lust instead of love.
Yes.
Talk about that.
I'd be happy to address it, and I address it in some detail in my book, but here's just a little preview. We are called to experience the redemption of our sexuality. St. Paul speaks of being transformed through the renewal of our minds. How does that happen? Let's get a little more practical here. We all experience temptations to lust, especially in this pornographic culture we live in. What do we do when we experience temptations to lust? Most people think there are only two options, indulge it or repress it. Neither one is the authentic Christian path. There is another way to see. There is another way to think. There is another way to experience sexual desire. It's called the redemption of sexuality, or as St. Paul described it, the redemption of our bodies. What does this mean? Here's a prayer that I say whenever necessary, whenever I'm caught up in a temptation to treat a woman as a commodity. I will say this. Say, Lord, thank you for the beauty of this person. Lord, thank you for the gift of my own sexual desire. I ask you, Jesus, please, to untwist in me what sin has twisted so that I might come to experience sexual desire as you created it to be, as the desire to love as you love. This is what we're called to, the path of redemption. It's not an indulgence. It's not a repression of all things sexual. It's a redemption of all things sexual. It's taking that twisted, distorted image, surrendering it to Christ, and asking him to show us the truth behind the lie. Because that's all pornography is. Pornography is a mockery of the true, the good, and the beautiful. The Christian does not reject the body. The Christian restores the body to its true beauty and splendor. We must not confuse Christian purity with Puritanism, which is a fearful rejection of the body. No, John Paul II says that Christian purity is the glory of the human body before God. It is God's glory in the human body. And we must beg God for the eyes to see the true beauty, the true glory, the true dignity of the human body. But that is a difficult road because it means we got to let go of our diseased images, our diseased ways of thinking. We must surrender those diseased images to the power of the death and resurrection of Jesus and let the truth shine through.
Wow.
Now, I have a story I could tell.
Oh, yeah, please do.
To maybe bring this home if we have time for it. Do we have time for it?
We have about another probably 7 minutes or so.
Okay, let me tell the story. A young man, I'm still a young man, I'm only 38 right now, but I was even younger then, it was about 12, 13 years ago. It was just a few weeks before my wedding day, and I was at the Basilica of the Immaculate Conception in Washington, D.C., praying specifically about my wedding night, saying, Lord, make me a true and sincere gift to my wife on my wedding night. And I was getting bombarded with all kinds of pornographic imagery in my mind, right there in the church. It was awful. And I started taking John Paul II's teaching seriously. I said, okay, I'm not going to indulge in these ideas, but nor am I going to repress them. I am rather going to surrender them to the light of Christ and ask him to untwist the distortion so that I can see the truth behind the pornographic lie. And, you know, this is a delicate thing. I'm not suggesting everybody do this because I don't know where you are in your own spiritual journey, and it might not be the right time to do this. But I knew for me on this day it was reckoning day, and I had to get up all those lies from the computer file, so to speak, and give them over to Jesus. So one by one by one, I went through those lies, and I surrendered these lies that were in my mind and my heart. And I said, Lord, I give you this lie. Please untwist it and show me the truth. Lord, I give you this lie. Please untwist it and show me the truth. And you know what I saw at the end? I had a vision. I had an image that came to me in prayer. It was the image of the Christ child nursing at the breast of the Blessed Mother.
Oh, wow.
And I realized this is what every man is looking for when he goes to porn. What he's actually looking for is to be fed by the real woman. And that real woman is Mary.
Hmm.
Now, that twisted, distorted, horrific idea has to be untwisted. And when it is untwisted, we get a vision of what the prophet Isaiah spoke of in Isaiah 66, when he described heaven as where we will all drink from the abundant breast of the new Jerusalem and find comfort in the overflow of her milk.
Wow.
This is the biblical vision. And all pornography is a diabolic mockery of the true beauty and dignity of the human body.
Wow.
Let me quote from another saint here, lest anybody be scandalized by what I'm saying. This is deeply rooted in the mystical tradition of our church, that we are to go to Mary to be nourished, just as Christ was at her breast. This is a spiritual blessing, a spiritual nourishment, of course, that we're talking about here.
Mm-hmm.
But it comes to us through Mary. St. Louis de Montfort says that all good things come to the Christian through the virginal bosom of the Blessed Mother.
Wow.
Do we see how Christianity is not prudish? It is not afraid of the body. It embraces the body. Right at the heart and center of Christianity is Christ, the male child born of a woman, coming to us through her womb, being nourished at her breast. And we must follow Christ into the holiness of the body. And this is the only path out of our pornographic culture, is to restore the true holiness and dignity of the body, to unmask the counterfeit, to unmask the lies of the dumpster, and walk into the glory and beauty of the banquet. Jesus will show us the way if we turn to him. Mary will show us the way if we turn to her.
Wow. You know, when guys ask me for advice on how to deal with their temptations, I tell them how I sort of came out of my own pornography and my own addictions, and how one day I got on my knees and I let go and let God. And in that one moment, in that very instant, God gave me some epiphanies or revelations, one of which was I needed to have sexual integrity. I needed to take my sexual purity very seriously. And I felt free. For the very first time, I felt free. Like Christ came and removed that bondage. Because the instant before, I felt like, well, I was a sexual being. Lust is only natural. It's okay. I felt like I had to lust. Like it was a requirement to masturbate, for example. But in that instant, I felt God release that from me. And I knew, I didn't know, have a clue as to what sexual purity was all about, but I knew I was now free to no longer lust. And in my process of growth here, I turned to our Blessed Lady. And as I was told, this gentleman from Germany just today, every single instant when I was faced with temptation, I would pray to our Blessed Lady. I'd ask her to intercede for me. I would pray a Hail Mary. And as I told him, sometimes I prayed all day long. I did whatever it took to get me through that temptation. You know, much like an alcoholic, you have to face it moment by moment. And it's been our Blessed Lady who's gotten me through that. It's been amazing. So I really can resonate with what you just said.
Her.
Absolutely.
We must turn to her. She will show us the true meaning and dignity of the human body.
Mm.
She is already divinized. Her body is already radiating the divine glory in the Assumption. And we have to recognize that all pornography is the devil spewing out his diabolic hatred on the dignity of Mary's body. And only when we realize that will we understand how to untwist the counterfeit and go to the real thing. You see, Christianity doesn't throw us into a void. It doesn't throw us into emptiness. We give up the dumpster only so we can get into the banquet. We give up the counterfeit only so we can get the real thing.
Right.
The pornographic vision of the body is a diabolic counterfeit for the longing we really have to understand the theology of our bodies.
Wow.
Our bodies are not inherently pornographic. Our bodies are inherently theographic.
Mm.
They are meant to point us to the mystery of God. And this is the whole purpose of John Paul II's theology of the body, and this is also the wisdom that Benedict has given us in his great encyclical, God is Love. And if you find it difficult to read John Paul II or Benedict directly, and many people do, then please take advantage of some of the resources that I and many others have come up with to translate the language of the Pope into normal, bite-sized, digestible truth that we can really live by. That's what my book, The Love That Satisfies, is all about.
And where can we get a copy of your book?
You can get it at any Catholic bookstore or even Borders or Barnes & Nobles. You can go online to Amazon, or you can certainly go to my website, ChristopherWest.com, or AscensionPress.com. Ascension Press is the official publisher of all my resources.
I can't tell you how life-changing this materially was for me, and again, everybody I've ever shared it with, they've always had the same response. I have yet to have one person, you know, hear that talk that you gave and say, "Oh, that was okay." You know, everybody has always been, "Wow, why have I never heard that before?" You know, and there's one thing in that talk that I've always said, if I get a chance to talk to you, how much I'd really like to share this with you. And when I share this CD with everybody, you know, there's one point that these men in particular pick up, and they always talk to me about. It's how when they're in, you know, the marital act with their spouse, how inviting God into the act and praying about it first, you know, and how sort of funny that makes us feel to even consider it, but honestly, how freeing it is. And as I always shared with the pre-Cana conference when my wife and I gave that talk, I've never had better sex in my life than when my wife and I took theology of the body seriously. You know, it's just
praise God. It's who created sex?
Right.
Who created sex? God knew what he was doing when he created it. The fact that we feel funny or goofy bringing God into the love of spouses only serves to demonstrate how we've been educated either by puritanical people on one hand or pornographic people on the other. The authentic Christian vision is that God is intimately part of the love of man and woman. Hey, God is love. And if we want our union as husband and wife to be an act of love, then God has to be part of it.
Right.
If we're kicking God out of the bedroom, then whatever you're doing in the bedroom, it sure ain't love.
Right.
Because God is love.
Praise
be
God.
Not afraid to bring the light of God right into the heart of your marital intimacy. You will find God there. God made us male and female and called us to this intimate union precisely to reveal to us his love.
Praise
be
God.
Not afraid. Be not afraid. Be not afraid.
Praise God. Well, Christopher, I know that you have to run, and again, I thank you for your patience and your time today, and The Love That Satisfies. What a fantastic ministry that you have, and I'm praying for you, and I hope that more and more people pick up on your resources, because honestly, it will change lives. So thank you. Please know that I'm praying for you, and I want to ask you to pray for all the men that have listened to this podcast, because there's so many men out there struggling, and they're hungry for the truth, and they want to hear an authentic message, and I think they're going to get that with your material, Christopher, so please pray for them.
Let's say prayer right now. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, come into our hearts, come into our minds, renew our vision of our own bodies and our own sexuality. Help us to drink deeply from the new wine that you've poured out so we can learn to love one another as you love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you very much. Christopher, God bless you.
Very welcome. Thank you, brother. You too.
Well, there you have it, Christopher West and Theology of the Body. Please stop by the blog, www.catholichack.com, and there you'll find the link to the Catholic Hack bookstore, where you can pick up Christopher West's books and check them out firsthand for yourself. And you can find that at www.catholiccompany.com/Catholic Hack. Are you looking for ways to reach out to me? Well, you can do that at the blog, www.catholichack.com, where there you can Twitter me, you can find me on Facebook, you can send me an email. Plenty of ways for you to get a hold of me. You can even call the voicemail feedback line at 713-568-6277, where you can leave me some voicemail. I can play it on this podcast.
Not too many takers on that, and I wonder why. Have you picked up your Catholic Hack t-shirt and mug lately? Please do that at the blog, www.catholichack.com. There you'll see a picture of a t-shirt. Click on that, and you will be taken to the web store where you can pick up a Catholic Hack t-shirt. And I want to see you wearing it, so send me a picture. Thank you very much for all the feedback on iTunes and the emails this week. Sean from London reached out to me. Thank you very much, Sean, for that. I also want to say thank you to those who left reviews on iTunes this week, like Two Treasures and Beastie15003 and Pete Jacob and KJ Kamaraj. Now, I probably mispronounced your name, and I'm very sorry about that. Please forgive me. But I really, really thank you for leaving those reviews on iTunes. That is a fantastic way to support this podcast. As I always say, the two biggest favors you can do for me are leaving me a review on iTunes and picking up a Catholic Hack t-shirt, mug, or stopping by the Catholic Hack bookstore today. Those are great ways to evangelize and to support the podcast. Also coming up here in Lent on the Catholic Hack is the second interview with Tarek Saab. Now, Tarek has been on the podcast before, and now he's got a book coming out called Gut Check. And you can see that book and check that book out and buy yourself an advanced copy off of the blog at www.catholichack.com. There, look at the very top, and you'll see a banner that says Gut Check, buy Gut Check. Click on that, and then you'll be taken to the appropriate website. This was a great, great book. I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I'm recommending it to everyone. So we're going to talk to Tarek about this book and about his journey during our Lenten journey. So we've got a lot coming your way, a lot of great material. So until next time, I pray that God richly blesses you. God bless.
SQPN, the best in Catholic podcasting.